This is Idaho Matters. A couple of weeks ago, if you remember, we shared an episode of a new podcast produced in partnership with Boise State Public Radio. Grouse looks at the prehistoric and controversial bird known as the sage grouse. Idaho is one of 11 Western states home to this creature, and it's a creature that is the center of just about every controversy in the West. Grouse has just wrapped its eighth and final episode, and today we're joined by host and reporter Ashley Ahern to go behind the scenes of making this podcast. Ashley, good to have you on the show.
Great to be here, Gemma.
So first off, why focus a podcast on sage grouse?
Why not?
Why not, right?
No, I mean, they are the wackiest, coolest birds I have ever encountered. And I wish more people could experience the wonder of watching these birds on the lek or the mating area where they gather every year. They go back to the same place. And more than just the fantastic appearance of these animals, I think it's also the symbolism. They have really become a lightning rod, a flashpoint, whatever you want to call it in the West, around these big conservation, land use issues that we're all talking about in so many different aspects now. So that was kind of, I chose the bird as a little bit of a symbol, but also as a really fascinating character to build a podcast about.
So for folks who don't know the backstory about why this bird is at the center of so many controversies, can you just give us a quick synopsis?
So it's not doing very well. The numbers have been declining, an average of more than 50% across its historic range since 2015. It was considered to be listed under the Endangered Species Act, which in many parts of the West, the ESA is sort of a four-letter word, if you will, in terms of what it can mean for private landowners or industry in terms of how they want to use public lands, especially if there is an animal like a listed species, such as sage grouse, if they were listed on their properties. So it can really get people fired up if they're considering protection under something like that. But it also just raises questions about, if we all are considering ourselves owners of these public lands, how do they get used and which creatures do we fight to keep around? And that's kind of what I was exploring in making this 8-part series and really committed to interviewing people on all sides of the spectrum of this issue, from ranchers to oil and gas executives, traveled more than 1,000 miles all around the West in my truck talking to folks. So yeah, it was really a portrait of a bird and a bit of a love letter to it at the same time.
So as you mentioned, I mean, you talked with so many people in this. I mean, as you said, environmentalists, mm-hmm. lawmakers, scientists, ranchers. Do any of these people see eye to eye on any of the issues surrounding the sage grouse?
You know, what's beautiful about all the conversations I had is to a person, there is such a deep love and kind of wonder at this bird. Even, the oil and gas executive is telling me how much he loves coming across them in the field and all the measures he's taken to try to, make a job site safer, less noisy for these birds. Or the rancher who, he said, there's nothing like coming upon a grouse to put the fear of God in you when one of those things flies up under your horse. And, so they all love this bird in their different and beautiful ways. And I think where they don't see eye to eye is what's to be done and what kind of sacrifices need to be made to keep them around. Because in many ways, keeping this bird on the landscape is going to mean some drastic actions in terms of limiting industrial activity and, fighting invasive grasses like cheatgrass that we're seeing expand across the West. And then we're also up against some larger existential questions around wildfire and climate change threatening this bird's habitat that some might say are outside of our control.
So after you did all of these interviews with all of these folks on all sides of the sage grouse issue, what were your takeaways when it comes to the bird and whether we're going to figure out how to keep it around?
When I embarked on this journey more than a year ago, I actually I almost assigned it as a challenge to myself, because I think that a lot of people's eyes glaze over when they hear about this bird. I mean, it's sort of like many of us will never see it. It's controversial, right? I get that. And I, for one, had been covering the environment for NPR for more than a decade and was sort of burned out and frankly was looking for hope myself. I mean, this is kind of a downer beat if you spend a lot of time researching and reading about this stuff, as many of your listeners know. And I latched onto this as needing to find hope myself, needing to find the courage to keep caring and not just sort of become numb to the news, as I know many of us have felt lately, just that constant inundation with bad news. And so for me, I mean, looking at this bird closely was really about asking questions about ourselves as a species that shares this landscape, and really how are we going to be stewards of the landscape? And it looks different for every single one of us out there. And, you know, some of the folks I met right there in Idaho are really deeply committed to that role of stewardship. And whether or not we all can come together and sing Kumbaya, I don't know how much faith I have in that anymore, to be quite honest with you, Gemma, but I won't doubt for a second the good intentions that have shown themselves along the way in my reporting on this bird.
Well, and as we know, the election is just days away as we're recording this. And if Joe Biden wins, I would say it's likely that he will remake the Interior Department and turn back the clock on a lot of the work that the Trump administration was doing when it comes to the sage grouse. So I'm curious to know if you think the bird will land back on the endangered species list under a possible Biden administration.
I think it's certainly a possibility. But I almost wonder that there are some who say that if this bird is considered under the Endangered Species Act, it could tear the Endangered Species Act apart. That legislation, that act is so important and has come under threat, in the recent administration, that a bird like this, sort of following in the footsteps of the spotted owl, is such a lightning rod that, it's almost like avoiding it. And that's what the Obama administration did, right? They didn't list it. And they brought a wide variety of stakeholders together in 2015 to prevent the bird from listing, ultimately was the decision that was made by all these diverse stakeholders that came to the table. And so, you know, whether or not a Biden administration is going to proceed with that, I don't, you know, we didn't see it under Obama. I'm not going to hold my breath, to be honest, that Biden would make that decision or, you know, make that progress under his administration should it come to pass.
That's an interesting, really interesting point on that. So as you mentioned, I mean, you had a successful career as an environmental reporter for the NPR station in Seattle. A couple years ago, you moved to a more rural area of Washington. And I'm curious, before we wrap up, how has your new experience changed the way that you do journalism?
I think one of the big problems in this country right now is a lot of journalists are based in cities. And that's maybe starting to change with the pandemic and more people working remotely is my hope. But covering the environment from the concrete jungle, frankly, felt like a disservice to the beat. And frankly, like I wasn't getting the whole story. And so moving rural, and especially after the 2016 election, feeling like I just didn't know my country. I moved to one of the reddest parts of Washington State in Okanagan County, sagebrush country, and started visiting, as we say in the country, you know, just got a horse for free. And I started moving cows for local ranchers, volunteering, and just started listening, deeply listening. And I think that those moments in the saddle, those moments working hard side by side with people in my community who see the world politically differently from, and would not consider themselves probably NPR listeners, to be quite honest, have changed the way I look at stories. And I think broadened my perspective, especially when we talk about natural resources and our lands and how we manage them and who cares about them. I think, Democrats and liberal city environmentalists don't own that market in my mind anymore, the way they maybe did when I lived in liberal Seattle, and have kind of changed my perspective a little bit since moving to the country. So these are problems that we're all going to have to come together and figure out how to solve. And I think now living closer to the land and knowing the folks who consider themselves stewards just as much as environmental groups do has sort of broadened my perspective about the kinds of voices we need to be engaging and listening to as we go forward. And the sage grouse is certainly, I think, a bird that has brought a lot of folks together. And the question is, can we make it work to keep this bird around in the future?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Chehalis. So talk about a red part of Washington State, but it does give you a whole different perspective. And I applaud you for doing what you're doing and bringing all of those different perspectives together, because we're not going to see change unless we do that. So Ashley, thank you for your reporting and for talking with us today. I just appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Yep. We've been talking with podcast host and producer Ashley Ahern. She just finished her podcast Grouse, all 8 episodes. You can listen to it wherever you get podcasts. You can always download the free Boise State Public Radio app and use it there. More Idaho Matters next.